Old Testament book, and that plan is to do that next week. But we're going to speak one more week about faith. Our theme for this year is by faith. And there's a lot of things that I'm trying to get our hearts ready and my heart ready for when it comes to this idea of living by faith. And we're going to go to Hebrews chapter number 11 on Sunday nights. We're going to be doing a series throughout the year about different Bible characters and how they move forth by faith. And there's a verse that we're going to start off here as a kind of a jumping off point or a springboard at looking at this thought, making your faith become sight. Making your faith become sight. Faith is something that is inward, but is something that should be evident in our lives also. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." So it says if as a Christian, as a believer, as someone who lives for God and wants to love the Lord and do what's right, they're not going to walk by what the circumstances of the world dictates. Instead, they're going to walk according to faith and according to what the Word of God says, according to what God wants them to do and how God leads and how God guides. Many times in the world we live in, faith does not seem impossible. And that's when I'm reading through this wonderful stories in Hebrews chapter number 11 over and over. You see story of men and women that face the impossible. You see people that do things that would seem supernatural. And at some points in times, it was supernatural. And look what it says in Hebrews chapter number 11. This is the only verse we're going to read out of here. 11 verse number 2. It said, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." By what? Well, in verse number 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That word "it" is in reference to the word faith. For by it, or for by faith, the elders obtained a good report. So when we think about this word by faith, or this theme, you come to this chapter, you come to Hebrews chapter number 11, and you see character after character, man and lady, that God was able to do special things from. You read some of the things that Samson did. Samson's name is mentioned in there. Some of the things that Moses did. Moses' name is mentioned in there. Some of the things Abraham had the opportunity to do and see and be a part of, their names are in there. But how did they get the good report? How did they get the recognition? It says in verse number 2, "For by it, by faith, the elders attained a good report." By faith, Enoch saw heaven. By faith, Noah saw an ark. By faith, Abraham saw a heavenly city. By faith, Joshua saw a promised land. And by faith, God had given them something to do. They believed and they continued forward. And what happened? Their faith became sight. That faith that God had in Noah to build the ark, it became sight. The faith that Enoch had about heaven, it became sight. And it talks about how Joshua and the faith that he had he got the opportunity to be in the promised land. The result was their faith became sight. They believed God against all odds, and God used them to see some great works accomplished. So when I look at these characters, how over and over it says, by faith and by faith, you know what happens? It makes my heart want to live by faith also. I want to be a person that is by God's faith, by faith that God allows me to make a difference in our lives, just like it did here with these. It says that it's not a complicated thing to live by faith. Pretty much it's simply hearing God's promises, obeying God's word, and watching God work. By faith is often many times done in uncomfortable circumstances. If you go through these different characteristics and you look through these different verses, you come to the spot and you see these different things, and it wasn't easy for them. It wasn't easy for Abraham to get up and leave. It wasn't easy for Abraham to be asked to offer up Isaac. It wasn't easy for Joseph to go through those things. It definitely wouldn't have been easy for Moses to lead the children of Israel. Over and over, the circumstances in their life caused them to have faith to do the difficult things. When we live in our comfort zones, many times what we're doing is maintaining our faith. When we continue on just doing things the way we're used to doing, and things that we're comfortable with, the things that we see, the things that we partake of because we're comfortable with, that's not living, that's maintaining. And living by faith means is when we are willing to step out of our comfort zone and obedience to call, in obedience of a call to God, God will then increase our faith, And by that, God is able to do more work. And sometimes as we step out, he increases our faith a little. And as we continue to listen, as we continue to obey, God continues to increase our faith. You think about the story of Abraham. He was called out of that nation, called out of that country. As he followed God, you saw his faith growing. Yes, he failed. Yes, he slipped up. Yes, he did things, but he was called the friend of God. He came up to that point where he was able to, willing to offer his beloved son. How did he get there? It's because by faith, he kept on doing the things that he knew he was supposed to do, even if they were uncomfortable, even if they were things that he would have chose to do differently. One of my favorite quotes is by a pastor, Dr. Tom Malone. He says, when God is going to do something wonderful, he starts with the difficult. But when God is going to do something miraculous, he starts with the impossible. And this is what our Christian life is supposed to be. Seeing God work, hearing God move, and stepping out by faith. When God is going to do something wonderful, he starts with the difficult. And I've seen that many times in my life. I've seen difficult, and that God is working and God is moving, and it wasn't easy. And I saw people step out by faith and God kind of meet those needs, and somehow God always makes it work out, and God always answers the prayer, and God always makes it happen when we go by faith. But when God is going to do something miraculous, he starts off with the impossible. Sometimes we need to see examples in the Bible that teach us these things. And tonight we're going to look at three different characteristics about some individuals. We're going to be careful to stay away from the stories in Hebrews chapter number 11 because we want to look at those later on. But we are going to look at one of the characters at least. So we're going to look at three different men. And the first thing is when we believe like Moses. Now Moses is in here. I understand that. But the story we're going to talk about is when Moses, by faith, believed in God and led in a building project. Go ahead and take your Bible to Exodus chapter number 35. Say a building project. He was out in the desert. And can you imagine how impossible this would have been? Just picture this. He is leading the nation of Israel to the promised land. There's thousands, hundreds of thousands of uncooperative people that are in the desert. Many conservative Bible scholars will say this number of people was about 2 million people. Now, you imagine this, what I'm getting ready to say, that in this time, God gives Moses some instruction. And in this time, God gave Moses the instruction that he wanted Moses to build a tabernacle for him. Now, we remember the tabernacle was something that was made of tents because it would have to be picked up and moved as they were wandering in the wilderness. This tabernacle was where God resided. It is the place where God would choose to stop and rest. And you saw how God would come and forth with the smoke and also with the fire. And here he asked Moses in Exodus chapter number 35. He talks to Moses. Moses speaks to the people. He said, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, he's getting ready to ask a group of people to give. Now, remember these people. And you say, well, pastor, you're talking about giving. You're talking about giving of yourself. You just want money. That's all the church wants. That's not it at all. He's there, and they're in the desert. Now, they're at Mount Sinai here. They have to depend on God for food. They don't have any food. They have to depend on God for water. They don't have any water. And God comes to Moses and gives instruction on exactly how he wants his tabernacle built. And if you go and you register, I did some reading, it said that this project, even today, would cost about $10 million. So he's talking to 2 million people out there, and he's saying, look, I know you don't have water, and I know you don't have food, but he's saying to Moses, hey, Moses, I want you to do this. Now, if God had asked me to do that, I would have probably said, Lord, you know, it's a recession. Lord, you know, the people are struggling. How can we ask them to give? How can we ask them to do this? Or how can we ask them to do that when it seems like it's the impossible time and the impossible opportunity to do it? But Moses, by faith, does what God asked him to do, and God provides in a way that he already knew about. Look what it says in Exodus chapter number 35. Exodus 35, look what it says in verse number 5. This is Moses speaking after the Lord had commanded him to build this tabernacle. It says, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass. Now, it's kind of interesting here, and then it continues on, and we're not going to read through the whole thing because I think we can accomplish your point without going through all of it. But he is asking for an offering from a group of people that does not have even food and water. And why does, you say, what's the big deal? God's asking Moses to do something here. And I could only imagine, sometimes God speaks to my heart about wanting to present something to the church. And sometimes God speaks to my heart about breaking out or trying something new and trying something different. And boy, there's always a bunch of questions. There's always fear and there's always anxiety. And it's whether or not you had the faith to step out and do this. And when we know that God is calling, when God is talking, the question is whether or not we're going to believe. So the first thing, if you want your faith to become sight, if you want your faith not to just be inwardly, but you live a life that it actually is demonstrated and showed to the world, we got to believe first. You got to believe that God is calling us to do this. It's not always easy to declare God's message. It requires faith. Moses received God's word. He revealed God's message to the people. And look how they responded. Go down to verse number 21. I do want you to notice in verse number 5. It did say something that's interesting there. It says, whosoever is of a willing heart. God doesn't need your money. He wants you, he knows that we love it so much sometimes that he says, I want you to be willing to do this. I want you to love me this much. He says, I want you to understand that this is for God. And he says, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. This wasn't an offering to help pay for Moses' expenses. This was an offering for God. Look what it says in verse 21. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willingly. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle, the congregation, and for all his services, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets, and earrings, and rings, and tablets, and jewels of gold. And every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And it continues on talking about this. You say, well, how in the world did they have this? If they don't have enough money for food, they don't have enough money for water, and where did they get this thing from? And most of us know that answer, at least some of us do. Remember when they left the nation of Egypt, what God did? God made it to where they spoiled the Egyptians. That night when they realized that their firstborn had been killed, they were ready to get rid of the Israelites. They were saying, please go. And they're saying, well, can we have this or can we borrow this? Can we borrow that? He said, well, that sounds like they're robbing, they're stealing. Well, actually they are spoiling them. But you think about it, how many years did they work for the Egyptians and never got paid? 400 years they worked for the Egyptians and they never got paid. But the amazing thing here, and it says here, in Exodus 12:36, and the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they lent them such things as they required and they spoiled the Egyptians. The amazing thing is God already had that planned out and he had already worked in their heart and their mind and they were already there. And Moses says, God wants us to take an offering. And you know what? They said, here it is. You can have it. Here, take it. And the amazing thought here is that God knows what you have already. God already knows the talents you have. God already knows the gifts that you have. God already knows the abilities that you have. And you know what he's asking? He says, look, I want you to make an offering unto me. He says, I want you to give unto me. And it says that they have a heart that was stirred up. When's the last time our heart's been stirred up to do something? He wants to stir our hearts up to do something. He doesn't want our hearts to be so cold and so hard that no matter who's preaching or no matter if God himself or Jesus Christ himself came down and stood behind the pulpit and began to speak, your heart would be so hard it wouldn't matter. Nothing would change because you know better than God. No, it says the people's hearts were stirred and they gave willingly. The very willingness of their gifts revealed their hearts for God. Indeed, God is concerned with the heart. The Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I've observed some of the happiest people in this world are the people that have joy in giving. I mean, once again, some of the happiest people in the world are some of the people that are willing to give of themselves, give of their time, and give of their resources. God is still looking for people who have hearts that can be stirred for seeking the work of God to go forward. But the whole point of the message is Moses believed. I would have been very timid to get up and ask for an offering when they didn't have enough food or enough water. I would have said to the Lord, come on, Lord. You know they're struggling. You know they don't have much. They know that you know what's going to happen to them. God, how could you ask for this? But Moses believed in God's word. What is God asking you to do today that might be hard to relieve? What is it God saying? Hey, this is what I want you to do, but it might be a little uncomfortable. It might be something that's out of her comfort zone. And he says, if you truly want to see your faith become sight, if you truly want to see God working and moving and doing the impossible in your life, you must first believe. You got to believe in him. You got to believe in his word. You got to believe in his ways. Even though it seems like it may be impossible. Could you imagine trying to lead 2 million unhappy people through the desert? Sometimes, and not many people, but sometimes people can get grumpy. And sometimes people say dumb things. And sometimes I'm thinking, man, why did they have to say that? Or why did they have to do that? Can you imagine if there was 2 million of them? I mean, 2 million of them griping and complaining. That's why God didn't call me to do it. He called Moses to do it because Moses spent those 40 years being humbled on the back of the desert. And I tell you that many times we get frustrated just because one person said something and we don't even know if it was they were being smart aleck or not. And you're like, oh, can that be? No. He believed. He believed in God. And that's the first step, is believing in God. Can you imagine that 2 million people with no home, no subsistence, no security, not knowing where the next meal was going to come from, was able to build a tabernacle that could possibly be worth $10 million. Why did it happen? Because they believed. God already knew what they were going to do. They spoiled those things. Wasn't it good they had that laying around? No, that was God. God did all that. Second thing, not only is it believing, it's preparing. Go ahead and take your Bibles to, we'll go to 1 Chronicles chapter 17. First thing is when we believe like Moses. Second thing is when we prepare like David. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. Now in 1 Chronicles chapter number 17, you're going to see once again, this is centered around the tabernacle and the temple. All three parts talk about the tabernacle and the temple. It's just the way that the message worked. When we prepare like David, the tabernacle that Moses had constructed was magnificent, but it was not a permanent structure. In fact, it was a portable tent. This portability was necessary during the time of Moses because Israel was journeying from spot to spot through the wilderness. But King David, once everything had been set aside, King David was not happy that God was leaving his furniture in a tent. Look at what it says in verse number 1 here. Now it came to pass, as David sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, lo, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains. So what David is saying here, and something that's good, he says, look, I have this great big palace, I'm king of Israel, but then God and the ark of the covenant, they remain in tents. He said, that's something wrong. That's not, we should change that. So look what it says in verse number 2. Then Nathan said unto David, do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee. Well, Nathan gets he is the prophet, but he says something that wasn't right. God later on that night, it says in verse number 3, it came to pass the same night that the word of God came to Nathan saying, go and tell David, my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me an house to dwell in, for I have not dwelt in a house since the day I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent and from one tabernacle to another. So, you know, Nathan does not give David good instruction. Just a little side note here. Be careful. Be careful when you're giving somebody advice. Make sure it's from God. Because Nathan thinks, oh, wow, that sounds pretty good. And even though something might sound pretty good, it might not be God's plan. It might not be what God desires. And it might not be what God is looking for you to do. So here in this story, we see that David begins to prepare. Even though David catches the vision of preparing for this temple. So in this story, David turns around and he says, okay, if I cannot myself go ahead and build this temple, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get everything ready for Solomon. Could David have been upset? He could have. It's easy to get mad. It's easy when we don't get our way. It's easy to say, forget it. But no, David says, I'm going to prepare myself, make all the preparations that need to be done. I want you to take your Bible here to 1 Chronicles, go over a few chapters of chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. So David makes a choice in chapter 29, verses 1 through 5. He could sit back and not do anything. He could say, hey, this isn't my job. Let's not worry about it. But what does David do? David prepares to do the work of God. So not only do we need to believe, to be able to see our faith become sight, we need to believe, but we also need to prepare for this work. I tell you, if you want to live for God and want to do something for God, you need to be going to church because that's what God wants you to do. You need to be reading your Bible. You need to be preparing for the work. You need to be preparing to read your Bible and to pray and to be a witness, do the things. Because it's one thing to say, hey, I'm willing to live by faith and I want to see my faith become sight. But it's a different thing to believe in it and then prepare for the work of God. So often we say, yes, I want to live by faith. Of course I want to see God work. Of course I want to see God do something in my heart and my life. But are you prepared for it? Look what it says in verses 1 through 5. I want you to see three things here. First thing is that it was a zealous preparation. Look what it says. Furthermore, David king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God have chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. He's saying to us, can you imagine Solomon being there, getting ready to become king? His dad saying, you know my son, he's young, he's tender, and the work's too big for him. I'm sure that made Solomon feel a lot better, but it was the truth. For the palace is not for man. I think he would have said the work was great for nothing else, but the fact it was not for man, but for the Lord God. It was important. And that's what our service should always be look at. It's not for man. It's for the Lord God. Verse number 2, now I have prepared with all my might. It was a zealous preparation. He was pouring his strength. He was pouring his ability into this opportunity to do. If we're going to prepare to do, see our faith become sight, we must prepare zealously. That means that we're going to be faithful in our Bible reading. That means we're going to be faithful in our scripture memorization. That means we're going to be zealous about doing the things of God. The Bible says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. In the New Testament, Paul talks about the Macedonian church and talks about and their grace giving. It says, for to their power I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. And, you know, even when things are hard and beyond their ability, they gave with all their might, they prepared with all their might, and they prepared with all their strength, even though they were going through a great trial. The world considers a zeal towards God a waste. The world considers faithfulness to God a waste. You're not going to impress people. But we're preparing for what? Not to impress people, but to please the Lord. So you see, first of all, he was zealous. Secondly, I want you to see here, and it is an affectionate preparation. Let's go ahead and read verse number 3. Moreover, because I had set my affections to the house of my God. He says, not only was I zealous about it, and you can read all the things that he gave, and I don't think that's important. He's showing to the people, I'm zealous. I've been working. I believe in what we're doing here. He says, but I also was affectionate about it. You do not have to be around a person very long to see what they're affectionate about it. You spend maybe 10 or 15 minutes with someone, and after a while, the conversation starts to get to be a little, you're going one way or another way, and somebody brings out a picture of their grandchildren. Why is that? It's because they love their grandchildren. Somebody might start talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers because they love the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're affectionate. Some people might start talking about the government or talking about our president. Or there are certain things that people are affectionate about. There are certain people, things that people like. It might be your car hobby. It might be something about your family, your kids. It may be something about your ministry here at the church. They said they were affectionate. That's what David is telling the people. I gave and I prepared zealously, and it's because God got a hold of my heart. God captured my affections. God was the one who I could have been living in luxury. I could have been living in comfort, but my affection was through God. I gave it. And you're going to see here in a little while, you're going to see if you kept on reading in 2 Chronicles, Solomon became one of the richest and wealthiest kings of all time, maybe ever. And it wasn't the fact that David didn't leave a great heritage or a great inheritance to his children. No, he gave a lot to the temple. And guess what? It didn't hurt him at all. Solomon ended up doing great things. Colossians 3:2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So here's the thing is, you got to believe first, then you got to prepare. Prepare zealously, prepare with affections. And then also you see, he prepared sacrificially. To be honest with you, out of an outflow of a wholehearted preparation, there's going to be sacrifice. something that you love, and as something that has your affections, there's going to be sacrifice. Think about what we do for our kids. Think about what we do for our grandkids. Think about what we do for our parents. Think about what we do for people that we truly love. So sometimes there's a sacrifice. That does not always mean money. Sometimes that means time. Sometimes that means using your talents. If we were affectionate towards God and it's giving of themselves. So if you keep on reading verse number 3, he says, moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own people good of gold and of silver, which I have given to the house of my God. Now listen, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. It's saying that he had done over and above all. He had done more than he had originally planned, and he had done more, and he did it willingly. Look what it says in verse number 6. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and hundreds with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly. They were willing to prepare for this work because of the fact that David was zealous and that he was affectionate about it and he was willing to sacrifice. So how does our faith become sight? First of all, you got to believe in the word of God. Next thing, you have to be preparing for God to work in your heart and life by being zealous, by God having your attention, by you being affectionate toward the Lord, and being willing to sacrifice. The third thing I want you to see is not only is it believing and preparing, but it is also building. We use the word building because of the fact that we have a faithful foundation at this point, and then you build upon it. Look what it says in the book of Nehemiah. You go to Nehemiah chapter number 1 if you like to. We're almost done here. It's the third character. And Nehemiah is known to be one of the greatest leaders of all time. If you want to look at leadership skills, you go to the book of Nehemiah. But in the book of Nehemiah, in verse number 11, it talks about how Nehemiah was heard about the Jerusalem walls. His heart was broken. He went, he fasted, he prayed, he got his heart ready to be served by God. It says verse number 11, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now mine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I am the king's cupbearer. He's praying that God will now use him to do something for God. He's going back to Jerusalem. They're building up the gates that's around Jerusalem, that's near the, where the temple was at. And so what are you getting at, Pastor? Well, first of all, it's believing in his work. Secondly, it's preparing for his work. Thirdly, it's coming to the spot where you go before God and say, God, I want you to do something. I want you to prepare. You know, he's saying here, to talk about Artaxerxes, saying, hey, get his heart ready. As he gets his heart ready, let God do something supernatural, do a work. And Nehemiah takes, it's, if you, we've gone through Nehemiah and we see the compassion in Nehemiah and we see how Nehemiah goes and he talks to the people and it talks about in chapter 2 verse 18, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me as the king's words and as he spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. There was much work. There was much hardship. There was much people trying to get him to stop. They build these walls in 52 days. It was miraculous what was done. It was because of the fact that God helped them and they stayed focused and they built upon the foundation that God had given them. That's when their faith became sight. Moses, when he watched that offering came in, his faith became sight. His faith was willing to talk to the people when they had nothing. They had no place to live, no food, no water. David's faith became sight when he was willing to give and prepare. And he saw how God had already moved not only in his heart, but he moved in other people's hearts. Nehemiah gets there, and Nehemiah, you know, he's already burdened. He's already prayed. He's already fasted. He's already done all the preparation that was necessary. He went to the Jerusalem. He rode around Jerusalem. He faced obstacle. He faced opposition. He faced a bunch of things. But he went to the people, and he said to the people, let us do this. And he talks about all the good things that God had been doing in their heart. He talks about all the things that God had been working on. He talks about how God had worked out things. Now he heard about it in chapter 1 and in chapter number 2, how the king had given him permission to leave, which would have been unusual to begin with. Not only did he give him permission, he gave him all the things that they needed to build these walls. And the people get excited and he strengthens their hands. He shares what's on his heart, and he sees his faith become sight when these walls get built. Christian, if you really truly want to see God do something in your life, he wants to see your faith become sight instead of just something you pray for. You need to believe in God, and you need to prepare that God can do the work and then build upon that. But most of us, we maintain our faith. And we like to see when God does a little. But many of us wouldn't fall in that Hebrews chapter 11. They said the elders obtain a good report. By what? By faith. And I'm not chastising you. I'm not giving you a hard time, because it's something in my life. I want to live by faith. I want to push out by faith. I want to believe. But I want to also prepare for God to be able to work in my life and prepare. Remember what we talked about on Sunday afternoon? Who is it that's revived? Who is it that has that new strength? Who is it that has that new life that's springing up? It's that person that has that humble heart, humble spirit, that contrite heart. That's who God can bless. That's who God can blow on. That's who God can do something special with. And as you're preparing, then you make yourself available for God to work in your heart and life. Today, I wonder how many of us really want our faith to become sight. Faith never becomes sight in comfort zones. You go back to Hebrews chapter 11, as we're going to look at those characteristics throughout this upcoming year and look at these different stories. Not any of them was really done in a comfortable spot. It becomes sight through prayer. It comes sight between belief, preparation, and action. Faith becomes sight when we believe like Moses, take God at his word. It becomes sight when we prepare like David and set our affections on things above. It becomes sight when we build like Nehemiah with compassion and determination. Is God asking you to do something that you're uncomfortable with? Maybe God may be asking you to do something that is impossible. That's when God can begin to work. When we believe and when we prepare. And then when we build. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.